On the Kyrie, there is, when that music starts, we start right away. And then Sean will be here. There's a baptism at St. Paul's. And he said he'd be back by the gospel, but he said if he's not, come find a Bible. So please stand as you're able. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may have, with grateful hearts, accomplish all that you would want us to do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be please seated for the readings.
Morning.
Morning.
The first reading is from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were here with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry and went away saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and would have and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something different, would you not have done it? Have much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 111 responsively with me. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The second reading is from 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of the truth, the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. When Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to them, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the sermon.
You did great. It's all written out. Thank you, Dennis, for covering. And I'll get this on. The people on the recording don't need to hear this, but we had a lovely baptism this morning over at St. Paul, which is why I'm late. It was designed that way. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Settle in. I wonder, by whose witness are you here today at this place? By whose witness are you here today? So someone or many someones in your life has witnessed to the good news of Jesus Christ to you and for you, and now you're here today. By whose witness are you here today? For me, this person was, firstly, my mom. So she grabbed my ear, she twisted it just like this, I'm lucky I have an ear left, and she dragged me to church for 18 years. For the first 18 years of my life, my mom dragged me to church. She was the first Christian witness to me. And then there were Pastor Tom's, plural, there were two of them. And then there was Father Trick and Father John. Catholics? Oh man, not Catholics. Yes, Father Trick and Father John witnessed to me. And then there was Joe, a pastor once but no longer. And then there were not just the pastors and the priests. There was Marge and Joyce and Carol and Andy and Brenda and Nancy and Jackie. And there are a whole bunch of other witnesses in my life that whose names I literally just cannot remember because I have a horrible job of it's terrible for me to remember names. Today I was privileged to baptize Charlotte Petrie at St. Paul. She's a beautiful 18-month-old, and what's very funny about Charlotte is she has never, not once, ever been a problem in church. She's never really cried, she's never squirmed, she's never anything, until today. It's very funny. So, she was there with her parents and her grandparents, and I think they were like half the church today. There were so many relatives there. And by their all of their Christian witness, Charlotte came to be baptized into Christ Jesus today, which is something most certainly to celebrate. I cannot overstate the importance of Christian witness. Without witness, I assume you all read it. I wasn't here to verify. But I assume you read Naaman's story, the story of Naaman. And then I did hear this story of the 10 lepers being read. Without witness, these are non-stories. We wouldn't know about them because, well, first of all, someone had to witness in order to tell us to, for them to be passed down, for them to be written down, for us to hear them. But first of all, these things would not have happened. These events would not have happened. Without witness, neither Naaman or the lepers would have encountered God. They would not have encountered God, most likely, the God who heals and makes whole. Naaman, he is a powerful commander of an army. He's defeated the northern kingdom of Israel in battle. And then he or someone in his army has taken this young Israelite girl captive, who is now in his home as a servant for his wife, for Naaman's wife. So this girl serves Naaman's wife. And everything in Naaman's life, it's going great, isn't it? I mean, think about it. He is the commander. He is the only one above him in this kingdom is the king. He is at the tippy top. Everything's great. He's got servants. He's got slaves. He's got all the things. Except he's got this painful and unsightly leprosy. It's not great. This young Israelite girl, this slave, then tells Naaman's wife, if only he were with the prophet, Elisha, who is in Samaria. Elisha would cure Naaman of his leprosy. This, what she did, is witness, right? On the way to Jerusalem, as Jesus enters a village, there are 10 lepers who approach them. They call out, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." Jesus, he doesn't seek these lepers out, these unclean men out, these isolated men out. No, they come seeking him. Why? Why do they seek Jesus? Why him? Why? Because someone, or many someones, told them about Jesus. This is witness. Telling people about Jesus is witness. Now, my mom, she did not twist my ear and drag me to church today. She didn't. Sometimes when I was in college, she still had to do that, okay? But she did not do that today. Why? Why am I here today? Everyone say it with me now. Because you pay me. They laughed better at the other church. No, I'm here today because of Christian witness. I'm 42 years old now. It's very sad. But I'm 42. I know some of you are like, oh, to be 42 again. And he's like, 42, never me. I am here because many, many someones over many, many years, again and again and again, witnessed to Jesus Christ, to me. There are so many sermons I have sat through over the years. I don't remember most of them, but something must have sunk in here, but most importantly, here. But not just the sermons. As I said, there are so many beyond pastors who witness to us. I am here today because of Christian witness, and you all are here today because of Christian witness, except for maybe you, which is could be being drugged by an ear. However, don't let her do that. You're bigger than her. But dragging people by the ear sometimes is Christian witness. In and through the witness of those who witnessed to me, I have heard and I have seen and I have known what Jesus has done for them, these witnesses. And I myself have come to know and see and experience and hear Jesus Christ in and through them. Because they first witnessed, I can stand here today and boldly witness to you the good news of Jesus Christ. we hear witnessing happening today beyond the original witnessing that brought these folks to know God. Naaman witnessed. Naaman's flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Because of the witness of some seemingly insignificant slave girl, who, by the way, is not insignificant, Naaman came to know, to feel, to experience the healing power of the God of Israel. This man, Naaman, is a powerful man, right? He can move armies about the earth, powerful armies, armies that defeated the northern kingdom's armies. But he can't cure himself of leprosy. And when he is cured, he witnesses to the one who can. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Jesus says to the lepers, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they go, and as they are made clean, one of them realizes it. He turns. Because of the witness of someone or many someones, and here's where it's really fun. We don't know who these people are. We don't know who these witnesses are. Dennis, you read it for me today. It didn't tell us who these witnesses are. It just says that they come to Jesus. Why did they know about Jesus? Because someone told them about Jesus. We don't know who. They come to know, to feel, to experience the healing power of Jesus Christ because some unnamed, unknown people told them about Jesus. Now, granted, only one returns, and a no good Samaritan at that. Ugh, gross. But the one praises God. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. He thanks Jesus in a loud voice. Witness. This man who was once unclean, broken, isolated, cut off from community, has, in and through Jesus Christ, been healed and been made whole and restored. He is now allowed back into community, just probably not with the Israelites, but that's okay. And he, this good-for-nothing Samaritan, is now a witness to Jesus Christ, to his good news. So this healing, this wholeness, this community, these sound pretty nice, right? Anybody here want these? I want these things. Anyone else here want these things? What must I do? What must we do? What must you do to earn these gifts? Do we earn them? I like his answer. Nothing, he says. Turns out, not much. Naaman, I love this story. This is such a great story. Naaman, he almost storms off. He is angry. He is angry that the prophet Elisha has told him to wash in the River Jordan. This dumpy river? We have way better rivers than this at home. But his servants serve as witnesses of sorts. If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean? The lepers, they are made clean by simply walking. Here, I'll give you an example. We'll just demonstrate how they're made clean. Jesus is like, hey, just walk to the priest and show them that you're clean. And they're walking, and, oh, I'm clean. That's what the lepers did. That's how they were made clean. So again, what must we do to know and earn healing and wholeness and community? Nothing. We don't have to do anything. which is why I took an 18-month-old and I tried to drown her. Oh, gosh, that sounds terrible. That wasn't recording, was it? Which is why we baptize infants in the first place, right? Because it's not about what they do. It's why I baptized Charlotte today. Look, we can baptize anyone of any age. But in each case, it's not about what the person who's baptized does. It's about what God is doing. In my sermon, because of all of the times that she's done all the things, I said in my sermon that she wasn't old enough to do anything other than look cute, which she's good at. Today, she was old enough to cause a holy ruckus, okay? And yet, we baptized her. Why? Why is that? I already gave away the answer. Because it's not her work. It isn't her work. Just like it isn't Naaman's work, it isn't the work of any of these 10 lepers, whether they turned around and said thank you or not, it wasn't their work either. And it's not my work, and it's certainly none of your work. It is the work of a good and gracious God who does this work because God longs to cleanse us and set us free, to grant us the gift of grace, freely given grace. Because ours is a God who longs to heal us, a God who longs to restore us to wholeness and community. Today, God most certainly claimed Charlotte Petrie as God's very own child. Today, God claimed Charlotte Petrie as God's very own child, like each and every one of you, I'm pretty sure, in this room has been claimed by God. For God. And as she grows in faith, she will come to know and experience and feel a love and grace, a healing and a wholeness made available only in and through Jesus Christ, the Son of the one God of Israel. A healing and a wholeness that we too, I'm pretty sure most of us in this room also know. Christian witness, in its purest form, I know, sometimes Christian witness looks like me standing up here and preaching at you. Some pastors might say that Christian witness involves walking. Here, I'll give you an example. Hey, I don't know who lives over here on the other side of this wall, so I'm going to step in. Hey, you want to hear about Jesus? Oh, no, they pointed a gun at me, which is why we don't like that form of Christian witness, right? But I think Christian witness, in its purest form, it just happens. It just happens, and we are demonstrated two times today of how that Christian witness happens just naturally. It just flows. It flows as a grateful response to the work that God has done. The work that God has done. Naaman, when he is cleansed, what does he say? He proclaims that there is only one God in all of Israel. This leper, I don't know why the other 9 didn't turn around, but this one leper, when he sees that he is cleansed, he throws himself down at Jesus' feet and he proclaims the goodness of Jesus. Jesus' healing power and love. This is Christian witness that just flows as a grateful response to the work that God has done in Jesus Christ. And I believe that someday, Charlotte, she will experience the healing power of Jesus wash over her. And she, like Naaman, like the leper, like you and like me, at that point will not be able to contain her joy. She will cry out in Christian witness. She will joyfully thank God for God's healing and for God's saving power. She will thank God for what God has done. Not what she did. She didn't do anything other than she did look cute today. She was just kind of raucous. She will thank God also for those who have in her life brought her to the place to be baptized and for all who witnessed to her along that way. So that brings me back. By whose witness are you here today? By whose witness are you here today? And I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to give you a minute right here, right now. You're going to participate in the sermon. You don't have to talk. You can't sleep. Who are the Christian witnesses from your life? By whose witness are you here today? And I want you to think of them by name, if your memory is better than mine, and by face, if your memory is like mine. And I want you to consider why their witness is so memorable to you. Go. Anyone want to shout out some names? Yeah.
Arnie Roberts.
Thank you, Arnie Roberts. Anyone else?
Tim Keeler.
Mary Batchley. Badgley? Badgley. Your young wife at 20 years old dragging you by... It's still there, right? Your ear is still there, but she did drag you. Okay. Anyone else? Your parents, absolutely. Norm's parents.
Grandma.
Who said that?
Grandma.
Your grandma.
Okay.
Thank you for participating. That's hard for a Lutheran sermon. And as we think of those, let us pray. Good and gracious God, who longs to bring us to healing and wholeness, we thank you for the Christian witnesses of all times and of all places, through whom we have come to know your goodness, your grace, and your love. Thank you for those who brought us to the waters of baptism, so that in our dying with Christ, we might rise and live with him. Thank you for those who nurtured our faith in our youth, through their teaching and preaching and love. And thank you for those with whom, through the gift of baptism, we share our communities of faith, where we mutually witness to your love made known in Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit are brought to and sustained in our faith. May these walls, the walls of this place, may they not be able to contain our joy. May our thanksgiving, may our witness flow freely from this place, into our communities, and to the ends of the earth. We lift these and all our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is and remains our healer, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen.
join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Are there additional prayers to add to our prayers of intercession this morning?
And Chloe.
Chloe. We will permanently add Chloe. Well, hopefully not permanently, but we will add Chloe to our prayer list as well.
Sharon.
Sharon. Who's your sister who had a stroke, correct? From. Update on Jean. Jean continues to be in hospice. Jean Hayes continues to be in hospice care. We continue to pray for her and her family and those who are caring for her at this time. I received a call. So Bobby Zygmunt, many of you may not know her, but she is on our prayer chain. She called me yesterday. Her sister, Mitzi Wiggins, passed away. So a few of you I don't know her. So please keep the family of Mitzi Wiggins in your prayers. Any additional prayers this morning?
Yes. Don, who's in hospice.
Okay. Let us pray.
Renewed in God's everlasting grace, let us pray for the church, for the world, for all of creation.
Creating God, you provided cleansing and healing waters for Naaman. Water the earth's land and parched places. Restore and sustain our water sources, especially the Olentangy, the Ohio River, Lake Erie, and our local reservoirs, and guide the work of all who advocate for safe and abundant water supply. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Merciful God, you know the needs of your people. Show mercy to those suffering in the world. Comfort those in need of your healing. Especially this day we lift Jean and all who care for her. For Geneva, for Norma, for Chloe and Sharon, for Don, for the family and friends of Mitzi Wiggins, for those who are on our long-term, our homebound, our assisted living, and our limited mobility prayer list, for those that we lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace.
Life-giving God, through your word and in your life-giving waters of baptism, you have liberated us to live at one with you and in the community with one another. Help us, by your Spirit, to be renewed each day and to live your word of freedom honestly and uprightly in love and service to our neighbors. God of grace,
receive our prayers. Holy God, we thank you for the witness of those who have died in the faith, those who we have thought about today, who brought us to this place, who brought us to Jesus. We thank you for them and their lives. Guide us to trust in the baptismal promise of the resurrection in Christ. God of grace. We offer these and all our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. That was quick.
Turn to you a portion of what you have given us. Turn us to set our hopes not on the uncertainty of riches, but on you who richly provide for us. Multiply what we have gathered to be blessed all who suffer and are in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. So come to this meal of mercy. Be forgiven and be sustained.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us out to do good and to share our possessions to those in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Apparently, I must have thought that my invitation to communion sounded like all are welcome except for people named Chuck. Sorry, Chuck. Sorry about that. I also made another boo-boo, although some person named Norma got a prayer from us. The Norma that was on our prayer list that I included in our prayers today is... Marty's aunt, Norma, and she unfortunately passed away this week. So please keep Norma's family and friends in your prayers. All right. Well, Tuesday is our dinner at 5 p.m. All of you are welcome to come to that. That will be here this Tuesday at 5 p.m. Is there a sign up for anything out there for folks to bring stuff? So if you feel like you want to bring something to contribute to that, feel free to check out that sign up sheet on your way out. And I missed this. All kinds of boo-boos today. In the announcements, I missed that there is a Lutheran Partnership meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at North Robinson. So Wednesday, 7 p.m. at North Robinson. So you are all, as always, invited to attend that. And one of the things we'll be discussing is an October 26th joint worship service. That will be Reformation Sunday. And that joint worship service will be here. And our meal ministry team, I think it was meal ministry who's heading this up, has decided that they are going to host a meal here afterwards in celebration of our joint and shared ministry and in celebration of the Reformation. So 2 weeks from now, everyone see his shirt here? You see over there? We have lots of red. Wear your red. Anyway, I'll be wearing mine. So, with that, any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Jesus has a place for the leper and the Samaritan.
Jesus has a place for the broken, the rejected, and the outcast.
What the world calls broken, Jesus calls his own.
This is the good news of Jesus Christ.
So go forth and praise God loudly. Share this good news in Christian witness.
We will. Thanks be to God.
I know.
He's a good one.
Yeah, I know. Especially on a Sunday when we're not singing the real music. Well, Dennis didn't forget you. He just stood there. He was like, I'm going to make him walk all the way.